Greetings, and welcome to Audiostoa 20. This week's reading is taken from chapter 20 of book 1 of Epictetus' Discourses, entitled, How the Reasoning Faculty Contemplates Itself. It has two main axes of discourse. First of all, it examines the specificity of the reasoning faculty, that is, insofar as every art and every sciences is oriented towards things that are external to itself, the reasoning faculty is oriented towards itself and its own operations. In a second time is derived from that truth implications, which of course for Epictetus bring us into the realm of ethics and moral philosophy, and essentially consists in the pursual of that activity as opposed to any other activity, because of course for the Stoic, the right application of reasoning to our impressions and to their relationship is what is the guarantee, ultimately, of our acting in accordance to nature. Before we begin, I would like to point out to our listeners that this is our first enhanced podcast, and I'll be doing these in the future. That has been made very easy by the upgrade of the software I use to make the podcast, which is GarageBand. It essentially allows me to do trivial things like add a picture that you'll see if you have a video iPod or things of that nature. More importantly, it will allow me to introduce different chapters so that in the future, if you feel like skipping my babbling at the beginning of the program, you can just press your forward button and it will bring you straight to the reading of Epictetus. And that itself will also help me later, because all the readings that I do for of Epictetus' Discourses, since they are taken from the public domain, I will later take all the individual readings, cram them together, and make them available as a whole book through the LibriVox project, which is a very interesting initiative. Essentially, just it's the online audiobook version of the Gutenberg project, essentially. So just taking literature that's in the public domain and making it available to people for free online. You can visit their project if you're interested, by the way. It's at LibriVox, altogether, .org, and it's really interesting. So to have these chapter headings will assist me later in cutting out my babbling and putting all the actual readings of Epictetus together for that project. Let us now carry through with the reading. How the Reasoning Faculty Contemplates Itself. Every art and faculty contemplates certain things especially. When then it is itself of the same kind with the objects which it contemplates, it must of necessity contemplate itself also. But when it is of an unlike kind, it cannot contemplate itself. For instance, the shoemaker's art is employed on skins, but itself is entirely distinct from the material of skins. For this reason, it does not contemplate itself. Again, the grammarian's art is employed about articulate speech. Is then the art also articulate speech? By no means. For this reason, it is not able to contemplate itself. Now, reason, for what purpose has it been given by nature? For the right use of appearances. What is it, then, itself? A system of certain appearances. So, by its nature, it has the faculty of contemplating itself. Again, sound sense, for the contemplation of what things does it belong to us? Good and evil, and things which are neither. What is it, then, itself? Good. And want of sense, what is it? Evil. Do you see, then, that good sense necessarily contemplates both itself and the opposite? For this reason, it is the chief and the first work of a philosopher to examine appearances and to distinguish them and to admit none without examination. You see, even in the matter of coin, in which our interest appears to be somewhat concerned, how we have invented an art, and how many means the assayer uses to try the value of coin, the sight, the touch, the smell, and lastly, the hearing. He throws the coin down and observes the sound, and he is not content with its sounding once, but through his great attention, he becomes a musician. In like manner, where we think that to be mistaken and not to be mistaken make a great difference, there we apply great attention to discovering the things which can deceive. But in the matter of our miserable ruling faculty, yawning and sleeping, we carelessly admit every appearance, for the harm is not noticed. When then you would know how careless you are with respect to good and evil, and how active with respect to things which are indifferent, observe how you feel with respect to being deprived of the eye's sight, and how with respect of being deceived, and you will discover you are far from feeling as you ought to in relation to good and evil. But this is a matter which requires much preparation and much labor and study. Well then, do you expect to acquire the greatest of arts with small labor? And yet, the chief doctrine of philosophers is brief. If you would know, read Zeno's writings, and you will see. For how few words it requires to say man's end is to follow the gods, and that the nature of good is a proper use of appearances. But if you say, what is God, what is appearance, and what is particular, and what is universal nature? Then, indeed, many words are necessary. If, then, Epicurus should come and say that the good must be in the body, in this case, also, many words become necessary, and we must be thought what is the leading principle in us, and the fundamental, and the substantial. And as it is not probable that the good of a snail is in the shell, is it probable that the good of a man is in the body? But you yourself, Epicurus, possess something better than this. What is that in you which deliberates? What is that which examines everything? What is that which forms a judgment about the body itself, that it is the principal part? And why do you light your lamp and labor for us and write so many books? Is it that we may not be ignorant of the truth, who we are and what we are with respect to you? Thus the discussion requires many words. This was Audio Stoa 20. Join us next week when we will be reading two chapters of Epictetus' Discourses, the exceedingly short chapter 21 entitled To Those Who Would Be Admired, and the rather longish chapter 22 entitled Of Our Preconceptions. I am Julien Villeneuve, speaking from Montreal, Quebec. The translation used is that which is freely available in the public domain by George Long. Audio Stoa can be reached on the web at audiostoa.blogsite.org, or you can send me an email at audiostoa@gmail.com.